All My Old Haunts Are Now Haunting Me by Siddells. Read by Patica. Summary. When she is young, they talk about one day when Johnny runs the business and Audrey finds a husband and sits with a paste paper smile. One day. Her father throws her into the ocean when she is small. It's during one of the few times he manages to get off work, or wants to get off work, and the four of them drive to the seacoast. Johnny still speaks then, yells and splashes in the water, and her mother sits on the beach with a hat and dark shades that cover a good half of her face. Audrey plays near the water, away from Johnny and her mother, until she feels a hand clasped around her leg and looks up to see her father picking her up. She yells, more out of instinct than anything else, and she's in the water before she has time to register it. She hardly knows what's happening for a minute. She thrashes and flails, her lungs constricting. And then she feels hands around her waist, her father picking her up and putting her on a rock. She blinks for a moment. She thinks Johnny is laughing somewhere in the distance. Her father is laughing, too. "My father taught me how to swim like that," he says, putting a hand down on her shoulder. "It terrified me at first, you know, but I learned." He laughs again after that, and again, it is so loud. When she is young, they talk about one day when Johnny runs the business and Audrey finds a husband and sits with a paste paper smile. One day. Sometimes her father talks to her about business the way he used to talk to Johnny, always reluctantly, always as a second choice. She and Donna and Laura play jump rope in first grade, chanting through the alphabet until one of them trips. Bobby Briggs teases them, and sometimes Donna cries, and Laura corners him until he apologizes. She's friends with all of them, in her way. And then she isn't at all. Donna and Laura turn into their own unit, something fixed between the two of them that none of the boys, or anyone for that matter, can seem to break through. Bobby Briggs remains as he was, loud and wild. Audrey's wild herself, she guesses, but in a different way. Nobody seems to listen. After a certain age, she stops having friends. Her father only hits her once, when she's 12 years old. It's hard enough to shake the teeth in her mouth, and he never apologizes. Discipline is discipline in Twin Peaks. These kinds of things aren't questioned. The rest of the time, it is words, admonishments, the occasional shake by her shoulders. The one time, up at One-Eyed Jack's, that isn't questioned either. It was a misunderstanding, he'd say. Nothing more. She kisses one of her father's colleagues when she is 17. He is drunk. She is drunk, too. All hands, and the two of them are alone in the lobby of the Great Northern, long after everyone else has left. He's more handsome than most of her father's friends, dark-haired and square-jawed. Not quite one of the men from the movies, but close enough. There is a heavy gold ring on his finger, but she decides not to notice that. Audrey kisses him clumsily, all inexperience. It is no effort at all to make him kiss her back. He's nearly as sloppy at this as she is. Audrey has kissed boys before, but only boys. Bobby Briggs once, in 8th grade, on a dare. A few in between then. High schoolers. Boys too excited to know what they're doing. She expected him to be different, to know how to kiss her. But he isn't, not really. Her head spins. She's dizzy from a mixture of the alcohol and the kissing, and she's not sure why she's here, what she's going to gain from this. His hands move to her skirt next, and she bats them away. She pulls back, plucks his hands off her, and stands up. He clings a little bit, but his hands are useless and clumsy, and it isn't hard to slip out. He struggles to his feet after he sees she really is leaving, weakly attempting to follow after her. Hey, what are you doing? He asks. Going upstairs, going to bed, by myself. I didn't make you mad, did I? A pause. Tell me what I did, sweetheart. You didn't do anything. Don't be scared, he half whines. Come on, sit back down. Audrey is halfway through the door before she speaks. You're a pig. She tells Donna she slept with him, that he took her back to his room and the maid found them there naked in the morning. They're sitting in the Double R diner. Donna's alone. Laura is probably off somewhere, drifting, and Audrey sits next to her, recounts the whole thing without being prompted. My father was just livid, she says. He nearly called off the deal. Donna stares at her, incredulous. Audrey can't tell whether or not she believes her. Did he? Well, he wasn't going to on my account. I see, says Donna, looking down into her soda. I think I prefer older men, Audrey says. Boys our age just doesn't have any idea what they're doing, do they? I think they're all right. Oh, I forgot. You're seeing Mike, aren't you? Yes. Audrey laughs. That must be fun. Well, it's no wild hotel night with a businessman from New York. Well, that's why I don't bother with boys, Audrey says. Donna laughs in her face. Laura dies, and it eats a hole in everyone. Not her, not the same way. Laura dies, and something in the town dies with her. Some sense of complacency, of pretense. It's replaced with something urgent, a ringing in all their ears, or maybe only hers. Run, 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 run. When she meets Dale Cooper, she's not sure what she expects him to be. Did she think he would be like other men? Did she think she could fool him? She shows up naked in his bed, and he tells her to put her clothes on, hardly looks at her body. It's with a certain care, though, a kind of self-containment. He'd like to look, and that's comforting, in a way. She's not sure whether she loves him more for that. Love is an easy word to grasp onto, and there's never been anything like that before. Or if it only makes her bitter. They sit on his bed and drink malts, and she tells him what she feels she can tell him. About her father and Catherine and Johnny. She asks him about himself, and he tells her he was born in North Carolina, that he was recruited for the FBI out of college, that he's lived and worked all over the country for the last 10 years. That can't be all, she says. It's the major points, I guess. He smiles a little. You said you didn't have secrets, she says. I don't. Dale asks her once if she's planning on college, casually, over one of their breakfasts. I don't know, she says. I think they want to keep me here forever, really. I wouldn't be surprised if Thorne shot up around the town limits as soon as I tried to leave. Well, it's a good place as far as I can tell, he says, sipping his coffee. She giggles, wondering what good it is he can possibly see in Twin Peaks. Agent Cooper. It's a good place, he continues. But if you don't want to stay, Audrey, you should go. Places aren't always right for different people. I'm sure everyone will understand. She hasn't met anyone like Dale Cooper before, and it is no time at all before he's gone. He falls away like smoke she's trying to grab at. She isn't sure in the sense of wanting things. Not here. Maybe not anywhere. She steals her father's car and splits town with it on her 19th birthday. She's sure he'd have bought her one of her own if she'd asked, But she doesn't ask, just runs. She takes the savings her father put away for her out of the bank, too. She drives south, alone with the radio on, drives and drives, and wonders if they will forget her name. The end. Reader's notes. Thank you to the author for allowing me to record this fic. It was recorded as part of the Awesome Ladies Podfic Anthology, 2014. If you'd like to read this fic online, it can be found at archiveofourown.org/works/983252. If you'd like to download this podfic, it can be found at PetacaProductions.com. Thanks for listening.